That was a good sentiment. Let us come into his house and worship him. Is that what it was, Brenda?
Yes.
That's a good thought, to come into the house of the Lord and worship him. For he's worthy of our worship. There's no God like him. No other one. And so we do come to worship him. And do we come to hear his voice as he speaks to us? It's amazing if you're listening for his voice. You can start reading scripture. I know this week in some scripture I've been reading, I'm thinking, I read that chapter probably 100 times or more in my lifetime. Those two verses wasn't in there but last time. But that's the way it is with the Holy Spirit. He speaks to us. We're so glad that you're in God's house this morning. I pray that you're blessed as we worship the Lord together. It's good to just come and fellowship and enjoy one another and enjoy the Lord. So thank you for coming. Those that might be out in the parking lot listening, or anybody listening later on the website, we know you're also welcome as we sing the praises of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. May we pray. Lord, it's good to be in your house. It's good to be in the presence of our fellow believers. It's good to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we know, Lord, you've already promised that where we gather together in your name, you're in the midst. And Lord, we want you not only just to be here, we want you to be Lord of here. We want you to be on the throne. We want everything that happens today, everything we sing, everything we preach, everything we do, to be honoring to you. That you might just realize to some extent how much we love you. Lord, we know we can't love you and we don't love you as much as you loved us, but Lord, we want to love you the very best that we can. And Lord, we're sure to thank you for Jesus dying on that cross for us. Unworthy, unlovable, but God, you so loved that you gave. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed, and good morning. Good morning. Good to see you all this morning. We'll do like we usually do every Sunday morning. We'll go to our hymn sing at this particular time. It's good to be serving a risen Savior. And this song that we're going to sing this morning together is my favorite song ever written by Bill Gaither. And it certainly is. Because He Lives. Let's all stand together, sing all three verses of Because He Lives. Everyone said amen. Welcome someone. It is good to see you all this morning, and I've got to have a few announcements for you this time. First is next Sunday we'll have a call conference here, and the call conference will be to take up the Building and Grounds Committee's recommendations, and I think I have some over here. Did anyone want to speak to that, the Building and Grounds? Anything at all? Okay. We have several things that will be brought up, and so be here to do that next Sunday. A Baptist Men's Day, we notice it has been moved to the 12th, and that's to be Sunday week, and the Baptist Men's Day will be moved to the 12th, and there, okay? Now, yeah, son.
The breakfast time, is that 7 or 7:30? What did we decide on? I'm sorry.
I believe 7:30.
Okay, all right. Well,
I believe that's right. Oh, okay. Well, I it's up to you. I mean, I think 7:30.
7:30 is perfect.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, then we better stay with that then. Okay. 7:30. 7:30 for breakfast. Okay. All right. And everybody, all you guys are young men too, invited.
Please come.
Yeah, please come. Absolutely. There has been a generous memorial for Pam Lauder. A generous donation has been made to our church in loving memory of Pam Lauder and given by Cynthia Lauder. And we do thank you, thank Miss Cynthia, for that, please. Up to date, we have, don't forget Wednesday night. I want to do that. Be here Wednesday night. We'll be here for Bible study on Wednesday night. And as I said, we do have a wonderful Bible study each and every Wednesday night. Up to date, I have so far, Brenda, $470. You have an update on that for the pregnancy resource?
That's it for now.
Okay, that's it for now. Today was the last Sunday. Yeah, yeah. Today is the last Sunday. So if you have not given yet and you want to do that, today would be a good day to do that, okay? All righty. And by the way, I found the information on the call conference. It's voting for roofing in the sanctuary, a handicap ramp, and disposal of the old bus shed. So that's the things that will be covered, so you'll know what you to be expecting when you come for the call conference, okay? Are there any announcements that I've overlooked that I need to add? Okay. I do want to say one thing about the choir. I've been asked several times, are you going to start a choir back ever? Yeah, I want to do that. Well, I do. I want to do that because I love a choir, so I'm asking Brenda to put on the board out here a sign-up sheet. If you're interested and you will come and participate in the choir, I want you to sign up out there. I want you to say, yes, I'm willing to do that. We want to see how many people that we do have interested in the choir, and if we don't have enough interest in it, we'll continue on like we're going. But I would like to have a choir again someday. I love the sound of a choir. But we have to have enough people to have a sound. So, and we need enough voices there to have parts where the choir will be pretty, okay? So think about it, pray about it, and if you'll be willing to do that, we'll get that in the bulletin next Sunday, then, and Kathy, and go from there. All right, no more announcements? Then we shall go to our prayer request this morning, okay? I have a list here already, and I'll share those with you at this time. Rita's mother, continue to pray for Rita's mother. Rita's as being she, I think she is a caregiver is about 24/7, right, Kenny? And so keep Rita in your prayers and her family. There are those that are helping, but Rita, I think, is bearing the load. And so keep Rita in your prayers as well, obviously her mother as well, as they're waiting on her to go to Trinity Place. My nephew, Bradley Swearinger, did come through his surgery successfully, but he's been in a lot of pain. So he had back surgery, and so pray for him. We need to pray. As far as I know, the lady that's missing, there have been two of them. One they found, and one is still missing here. And we need to pray that somehow the news will be good for her. Yes?
Y'all pray for her family because Bee and Buddy are really having a
rough. Oh, I'm sure. Her brother come in. What's her name? I can't remember now. Allison Thompson. Thomas?
Yeah, they call her Allie.
Okay. I didn't have it this morning, but I'll put it in here now. Now, her brother came in the restaurant the other morning and put pictures up, and he is very, very concerned. And so let's keep that in our prayers. Let's remember Miss Lily Jones, 7-year-old with a brain tumor. Let's keep her in our prayers and absolutely this morning. Diane Coble, and now Diane, she's lived right up the street here, Carol Kelly's sister-in-law. And let's remember her. Diane's been in the hospital 3 times in the month of February, and so she's really having some issues and some problems. So let's keep Diane in our prayers as well. Are there others this morning?
I'm going to give an update on Mom.
Oh, yes.
She's doing much better. She developed cellulitis last week after her wound, but they have gotten that taken care of, and she's on the mend. Just keep praying for her continued health would be good. And then my friend and Bobby James' nephew, Sid Henson, had to go to the ER last night. He's got he's been suffering from just being sick and not feeling good, but he has a gastritis. So just pray for him. He was just really, really sick, and he needs to bring
out. All right. Okay.
The family of Robert Allen.
Robert Allen.
Yeah, he passed away.
Okay. Okay, are there others?
Leonard,
yes, ma'am.
Take Lauren's name off. She went to Charleston, met with the heart doctors, and
okay.
She really likes them there. She has daughters in Duke too, but things are looking good.
So she's doing all right?
She's not progressed anymore, so she's doing good. And Tracy had his heart test. Everything looked good there. So that's good, but keep him on the prayer list.
Okay. All right, others? Then let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning, please. Our Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we come to you, Lord, and we come to you in a humble fashion, seeking, Lord, that we for your touch for a lot of people this morning that we've already mentioned. But Lord, before I ask you for anything, I want to thank you for your blessings. Thank you for all you've given us. Thank you for the people that are here today and that have been able to be here. Thank you for good health. Thank you for the blessings of life. But then, Lord, as we look over this list this morning and we want to be specific to you as we bring this list before you, we know there's healings that are needed. We know that there's lives that need to be changed. And, Lord, we know there's folks, Lord, that are waiting for good news this morning. But, Lord, I want to pray this morning for Rita's mother and pray for Rita and her family, Lord, as they caregive to her mother. And thank you, Lord, for Bradley Swearinger and surgery being successful. We pray for him and his pain. Pray for the missing lady, Allison Thompson, Lord. Your will be done in her life, Lord. We pray for the good news. Pray for little Lily Jones, her 7-year-old with a brain tumor, Lord. You're all powerful, you're all knowing, and you're all caring, God. We pray for Diane, Lord, Diane Coble this morning as she's in the hospital and continuing to be, Lord. We lift her up, Lord. We pray, Lord, for healing for her body. We thank you for Miss Nail Jackman this morning. We pray for continued health for her, good health for her, and we're glad that she is progressing well. Sid Hitson, we pray for Sid this morning. He's in the hospital. We pray for him this morning. And then, Lord, as we go through, we pray for Stacy and Tracy, and pray for Lauren this morning. And we pray for the heart conditions of each, Lord, with that they'll get better and you'll touch their body. We thank you for the good news they've received already. And we pray to continue blessings upon them. And then, Lord, for the Robert Allen family, Lord, we pray for them this morning as well. And now, Lord, as we go forward in this service today, we pray for Pastor Ed. We ask you continued blessing upon him, Lord. We know, Lord, that he's still under stress and strain, but, Lord, we know he seeks you. And by seeking you, Lord, he'll be strong. Now, Lord, as we go forward today, we thank you for the blessings you've given us and your continuation of this service today. In your name we pray. Amen. As we go into the song of praise this morning, I thought about something in the bulletin. Not the bulletin, but in the hymnal. And, you know, we've been singing videos, and we continue to do videos, and I love them. But there's one in the bulletin that I think this, the hymnal, that is a good hymn, a good praise song. And it's Come Christians Join and Sing. It's page 231. It's on the board. And if you would, please, let's all sing, stand and sing, Come Christians Join and Sing. Great song of praise. You may be seated. Amen. Children, you are dismissed.
Be bouncy like that too. Now if I bounce, it's because I tripped and hit the floor. I want to piggyback a little bit on what Leonard taught for the Sunday school lesson. Some of the things he said go along just great with what the Lord gave me to share. Now, first, I want to ask you a question. I assume that most of you looked in the mirror before you came to church this morning. Now, what did you see? Now, the correct answer is not, I saw an old person with wrinkles and thinning hair. That is not the answer I'm looking for. Did you see your crown? When you looked in the mirror this morning, did you see your crown? Crown? What crown are you talking about? I'm not talking about the crown on your teeth. I'm talking about on your head. Did you see your crown? Well, see, I don't know anything about a crown, preacher. Well, that's the problem. If the devil can keep you ignorant of your crown, your authority, he can keep you in subjection. He can keep you weak. He can keep you defeated. If he can keep you not understanding your rights and your privileges, your power, your authority as a believer, he's got you right where he wants you. You know, the Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And let's talk this morning in just a minute about our crown and our authority. Now, this is not going to be the gospel according to Ed Louder. We're going to look at the Bible, and you read the verses and see if I'm telling you the truth. We're going to start in Genesis, of all places. Genesis, the first chapter. And we're going to look at God's original plan of creation. Genesis, the first chapter, beginning at verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now notice two things about God's original plan of creation. He made us like himself. Now we may think we don't look much like God, but he made us originally like himself. He put his very own nature within us. And it also says he gave us dominion over the earth. He says the fish, the birds, and everything that walked on the earth, God gave us dominion. That means authority. That means rulership. And you know that we lost it when Adam messed up in the garden. Now, we didn't quite lose it all because mankind has been able to tame a lot of the animals, but not completely. I mean, I got a little doggy at the house, and she's got a stubborn streak that I can't tame yet. And you know, it's the same with some of the rest of you. Every so often you'll read about some lion tamer or in a circus that suddenly got attacked by the animal that he was taming. We maintain some of that authority over the animal kingdom, but not completely. But originally, God's plan was we were to be like him, and we were to have a position of authority. We were to have that position of rulership, that dominion that he said. Have dominion, that authority over it. Well, we know that Adam lost it, and Satan's the god of this world. But what Adam gave away, Jesus gained back for us. Jesus gained back for us that power and that authority. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to look at several scriptures. Ephesians chapter 2. And verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Paul says in verse 5, we were dead in our sins. God made us alive by his grace. And when he made us alive, he raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, notice he didn't say he made us so that we'll sit together in Christ Jesus sometime. He makes it present tense. That we are seated with Christ. Now, and Leonard in the Sunday school lesson talked about Christ seated at the right hand of God, there from Colossians. And we are seated with Christ in a position of authority. The Bible says that we are his body. The Bible says that the devil is under his feet. Well, if we are his body, then the devil is under our feet. We are in a position of authority. We are in a position of a rulership now. Now, if the devil can convince you that you're a worm in the dust, that you don't have any authority, you don't have any power, you don't have any rulership, then he's got you under his thumb. But if you begin to understand from the scripture who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, who you can be in Christ, what you can do in Christ, then the devil has a problem. You know, when you get out of bed in the morning, does the devil say, oh no, he's up. Oh no, she's up. Or does the devil just treat us like a pesky fly that doesn't much matter? The devil ought to be concerned every morning we get out of bed because we know who we are in Christ. Let's look at some other scriptures. Turn with me to the book of Revelation. And we'll look at first at verse chapter 1, Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Verse 5. And he said, this letter is coming from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. In other words, Jesus saved us through what he did on the cross. And then what did he do for us? And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. There's where that crown comes in. He says, when Jesus saved you, he made you a king. He made you a priest. A king is a person with rulership and authority. A priest is someone with direct access to God. You don't have to come through some preacher, some priest to talk to God. You don't have to go through some saint. You don't have to go through Mary or somebody else to talk to God. When Jesus was crucified, that veil in the temple was torn in two. The access to God was made available to every one of us. You don't have to come to, now, you ought to come to church, but you don't have to be at church to talk to God. You can talk to God anywhere, anytime, 24/7, 365 and a quarter days a year. And you're always welcome. The Bible tells us, therefore, let us come boldly into the throne of grace. Neither one of my kids would just hesitate to pick up the phone this afternoon and call and say, Dad, could you send me $100 or whatever? They're bold about that. We can come boldly into the presence of God. Boldly. Because we are priests and we're kings. He made us kings and priests. Flip over a couple of chapters to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation verse 10. Revelation 5, verse 10. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. He says we're kings and priests. That means you're wearing a crown. You're wearing the priestly robes. You're in a place of authority. You're in a place of access to the Heavenly Father. And then Revelation chapter 20. Verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God, of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now that's talking about the millennium. When Jesus comes back and sets up his authority, we will be ruling and reigning with him. I mean, you may be mayor of Oak Borough, you may be mayor of New York City, who knows? It will be at his disposal as to the places of authority that we have. The point I want to make is what the Bible says who we are in Christ. He's made us kings and priests, not just lowly worms. We are in authority. We can have authority. We can have rulership. That's why the Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. He knows that if you know who you are in Christ and you hold up the blood of Jesus, he can't stand it. He's got to back off. Now, if we don't know who we are in Christ, we can be like those foolish guys, the seven sons of Sceva in the book of Acts, who says, we adjure you by the Jesus that Paul preaches, come out of this man. And the demon beats up all seven of them and strips them of their clothes and says to them, well, we know who Jesus is and we know who Paul is, but who are you? They didn't realize who they were in Christ. In fact, they weren't even saved. But if you know who you are in Christ, when you stand in authority, then the devil has to back off. The devil has to back off. Now, I think it's a wonderful promise. I don't know about you, but the devil attacks me from time to time. He tries to bug me, tries to depress me, tries to, tempt me. And if I were helpless, there'd be nothing I could do. But if I can say, devil, I just hold up the blood of Jesus. You know what happened to you the last time you messed with that blood? You got beat up pretty badly. Remember Easter? Just go deal with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm able to deal with the temptation or the discouragement or the depression or whatever the Lord gives me. Now, turn with me back now to the book of Romans, chapter 6. And Romans chapter 6 echoes the Sunday school lesson that Leonard just taught us. Romans chapter 6. And we'll start reading at verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto the sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And what did that Colossians talk about? You're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Mortify or put to death, therefore, your members, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, et cetera, et cetera, and anger, and et cetera, et cetera, and then put on all of these other good qualities, mercy and kindness and humbleness of mind and meekness and long-suffering and all of those things that Leonard was teaching us about. Now, you need to get this point. In both Romans and in Colossians, Paul says, you rule and reign over your life. He says, don't let sin reign in your body. Mortify the sin in your body. Put it to death. Put on the good stuff. You see, Paul is saying, listen, you're the boss. You wear the crown. You make the decision as to what kind of life you're going to live. You are the one in authority. The devil can't make you do anything that you don't choose to do. Now, it was cute when Flip Wilson used to say, and a few of you old enough to remember, the devil made me do it. Well, it was cute, but it's a lie. It's a lie. The devil can't make you do anything. Paul says, you wear the crown. God has made us kings and priests. We are in authority, and we get to choose. We can choose to put off out of our life sinful practices and put on good practices or not. We get to choose. I was thinking about some things. We get to choose whether we're going to sin or not. Now, the devil could come up and say, boy, this looks good. You ought to do this. This is going to make you feel great. This is going to be wonderful. You can say, okay, I believe I'll do that. Or you can say, no, devil, take your sin back to hell. I don't want it. We get to choose. Every time we get to choose whether or not we're going to sin. We get to choose what we're going to do with our finances. Now, I realize there's a certain amount of money that the government says you've got to give to the government. And you don't have much choice about that. But most of the rest of it, you get to choose. You get to choose whether you eat expensive food or not expensive food. You get to choose whether you wear expensive clothes or serviceable clothes. You get to choose whether you give to church and to other ministries or you don't give. You get to choose how much you give or don't give. It's your choice. It's your choice. It's your choice to sow into the kingdom of God or not to sow into the kingdom of God. You get to choose what you're going to do with your finances. I mean, once you got the government satisfied, everything else is pretty much your choice. Pretty much your choice. You know, I've never been to New York. Well, maybe I flew through there one time going to Israel, but I don't know about a lot of those places where you pay $1,000 for a meal. I wouldn't be comfortable eating one. I mean, I'm fine with $5.95 or whatever. I'd much rather have the food that you folks brought to the house than some fancy meal. Was it Bill Clinton that was getting the $400 haircuts? I've never had a $400. Anybody else? Anybody here had a $400 haircut? I mean, are you kidding me? We get to choose. We get to choose. And they talk about some of these Oscar shows, and they say, oh, so-and-so was seen wearing a $100,000 dress. How many of you ladies have a $100,000 dress in your closet? You know, it's ridiculous. But we get to choose what we'll do with our finances. We are king of our finances. We're king of our extra time. There are certain things that you've got to do. If you have a job, you've got to go to the job and work the number of hours that you're expected to work. But all of us have extra time. Now, I know sometimes moms don't think like they ever have a minute extra. And at a certain period, you probably don't. But most of us, you know, I can read, I can watch television, I can sleep, I can goof off. We're rulers over our time. We're rulers over our attitude. You know, I can choose to be grumpy or I can choose to be nice. It's my choice. I can choose to, okay, how do I want to say this? Spout off with my mouth or to bite my teeth and bite my tongue and just keep it to myself. You know, I rule over what comes out of my mouth, and you do too. Now, the younger I was, the less control I had. The older I've gotten, the more I realize, just shut up, son. You're better off if you don't say it. Whether you're talking to your wife or your brother or somebody or your kids, just shut up. You're better off just to keep it to yourself. You may even be right, but you're still better off to just shut up. Now, I know none of you have been in that position, but I've been there a few times. I'm king over what comes out of my mouth. And James talks about that in the book of James, where he talks about out of our mouth should not come on one side good and the other side evil. What I wrote in the newsletter a week or so ago is so true. There are people that when they walk through this to the door of the church are a blessing. But there's also people that walk through the door of their church and the people say, oh no, I wish they'd have just stayed home. I wish they just hadn't come. I've known a few church members like that in the last 60 years. And that's sad. But because we are the ruler, the king of our attitude and of the atmosphere that we bring into our home, into our place of business, into our church. We are kings and priests. We have access to God and we're the kings. You know, we're the king of whether we defeat Satan or whether Satan defeats us. Notice how many times, and there are others that I didn't read for us, talks about the authority that we have as believers in Jesus. Our place of authority, our place of rulership, the choices that we have as to whether or not we are going to glorify Christ and allow his attitudes and his love and his presence and his power come through us, or whether we're going to live in such a way that folks say, well, he says he's a Christian, but I sure don't see it. She says she goes to church, but I wonder what good it's doing her. If we could get up every morning, and when we look at that mirror to see if we need to shave or wash our face or whatever, if we could just get just a teeny glance of that crown of rulership that we have as a child of God, and we would live out that day from that place of authority, our lives would bring so much more glory to Jesus. Now, if the devil can get us, as I've already said, thinking, I got you, you're helpless, you're hopeless, I rule you, then we're defeated. But God does not want us to be defeated. God wants us to walk in victory. God wants us to be powerful. You remember in the book of Acts, the disciples showed up at a certain town and they said, these dudes that have changed, turned the world upside down, they showed up at our town now. In other words, there was such a power and presence of the Lord in their lives that when they came to town, everybody noticed. When they came to town, everybody was aware. When they came to town, everybody knew. Those followers of Jesus are in our town. You know, about every place Paul went, they had a riot or a revival. But they didn't ignore Paul. I mean, sometimes they rioted and threw him in jail. And sometimes there was a revival and a move of God and many came to know Jesus. But Paul knew who he was in Christ. What does he say? I am a new creature, a new creation, made alive in Christ Jesus. One of Peter's epistles begins this way. I'm writing to those who have like precious faith like we have. And what's Peter saying? He's saying, listen, that which I and the other apostles had, the faith that we have through Jesus, you guys got it too. In equal manner, in same proportion, and the same type of faith, Peter says, you have what the rest of us have. You're not second-class citizens. You're not hangers-on. You have what we have. And folks, don't read the New Testament and say, man, I wish I had what they had. Folks, read the New Testament and say, thank you, Lord. I've got what they have. Lord, let it come out of me. Let me learn about it. Let me grow in it. Let me live in it. Let it be powerful in me. Let my rulership, my kingship, my priesthood be seen in this world that I might turn upside down the little part of the world that I affect, whether it's my family or my job, my church, my community. When you get home, go back and look in the mirror and look for the crown. It's there, whether you see it or not. For the Bible says God made us kings and priests. Look at those royal priestly robes. They're yours. Not on my authority, but on the basis of what God's word says about us. If there's somebody that needs to receive Jesus Christ, we invite you to do that. If there's somebody that needs to come and make some other decision, we invite you. But all of us, even while we listen to the music, let's just be grateful that you're not a worm in the dust, but you are a king and a priest in the eyes of your Savior and your God. That you are seated with Christ in the heavenly places, and that you will rule and reign with Christ both here on this earth and in all of eternity to His glory. To His glory. Wes. Father, thank you for your presence. Father, may what I have just preached be not just words, but may it be a reality in all of our lives, that we might walk with our heads up, our chest out in humble pride, that we are children of the King, the Most High God, created in Christ Jesus in the image of God. And may we rule and reign as priests in this life as we prepare to rule and reign in priest in the millennium and in eternity. Lord, we don't understand how you do it all, but we know that you do it. Your word has promised it, and we thank you for it. Now may the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord be gracious to you and make his face to shine upon you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen.